Today
on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, looks like Hilton is following Marriott to tougher cancellation rules. And of course, it's not good news for business travelers in particular. United Airlines is taking a new approach to overbooked flights.
Travel apps are all the rage. And at 3:20, Nick Valenzuela and the hashtag Travel Report takes a look at some new apps that can make you a smarter traveler.
Road reporter Chris Galloway has been roaming all over Asia for the last 3 weeks, and at 3:35, he's here to share his experiences, tell you what to see and what to skip, and make you a smarter Asian traveler.
At 3:50, Mark dips into the mailbag. We're going to answer some of your questions, including a story about why you don't book flights on two different airlines in the same direction on the same trip. And I don't know what any of that means.
Explanations on that and more on today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise. To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Yes, sir. It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, right there on your variable capacitor, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you have, I hope your air conditioning is the real kind and not the, what do they used to call it, 4x6, I don't know, where you roll the windows down and you go like 65 miles an hour.
That's just 107, he just said.
107.
And of course, we just walked in, and some of the, here inside the KFBK studios here near the State Fair, it's kind of a crapshoot today because some of the studios are air-conditioned and some of them are not.
No. Our building itself, it's kind of cool in that our studios are somewhat isolated from the entire rest of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And the company that owns the building, because generally there's nobody in the building except for us.
Right, on the weekends.
They will power down all of the AC. So that's pretty standard everywhere else. Including in our sales area. But when you come into the round where all the studios are,
right,
it's independently controlled by our own air conditioning system, which seems to have a bit of a glitch. How you doing in there, Luis?
Yeah, Luis does not have any air in there in the control room. The door is open. Yeah.
We're trying to use my air conditioning to cool off the newsroom, so.
I see.
That's okay. That's it.
Anyway, here we are. It's time for another Travel Guys radio show, and let's take a moment and find out where in the world Sports Leisure Vacations, which is the company that underwrites this the silly little program, and Mark's company, and you guys been off to a couple of outings.
We were Friday night. You said a friend of yours was going to see Tony Bennett somewhere here locally.
That's correct. He's going to San Francisco tomorrow. I'm going to be filling in, doing a little production as Paul goes to, it's the Tony Bennett 91st birthday concert. I'm not sure what venue it is, but he's going to go check
that
out.
Well, and we saw him at the Hollywood Bowl, and get this, they told us, the person who introed him at the Hollywood Bowl, who was a local media personality in Los Angeles, told us the other night that he was appearing 55 years in a day after he had originally appeared at the Hollywood Bowl. 55 years.
Man.
Can you imagine that your career lasted 55 years? And that, and let me just tell you that Tony Bennett did, by the way, the symphony, the Philharmonic did like a 35-minute opening act, and then they took a break, and we thought, and they came back, and after about 40 minutes, it kind of looked like they were about going to wrap it up, and I thought, wow, this is going to be kind of short. But he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going, and by the time he was done, he did about an hour and 20 minutes on the stage. He sang every song, or at least a part of it, that you could have ever wanted him to sing, including I Left My Heart in San Francisco, which, of course, was significant because we were in Los Angeles.
Was that the finale?
No, we all wanted it to be, but that would have been too much in your face. So we, but anyway, and he was dancing around the stage a little bit. He's 90 years old, and his voice doesn't sound like it did when he was 50 or 60. I mean, and yours won't either. But he belted out a few long notes. And like I said, he touched on everything. And the other thing is, he's a legend at this point. He doesn't have to be perfect. He just has to be there, mm-hmm. you know, and be look like he's putting forth the effort and stuff, and the people will just absolutely love him. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what will happen when your friend goes to see him in San Francisco, is that you're seeing, you know, Yogi Berra, Betty White. You're seeing people who have, through the longevity and the way they've conducted themselves mm-hmm. for a long period of time, have become the standard by which others are measured. And so that's what Tony Bennett is. And folks really enjoyed the concert at the Hollywood Bowl. If you've never been there, I strongly recommend it. It's a wonderful place to go see a concert. There are a lot of bad seats a long ways from the stage. We didn't have those, fortunately, but we weren't, you know, right down close. I mean, it's their season ticket holders and stuff, so you fill in where you can. But a wonderful venue. You can take a picnic basket. And unlike many places now where you can't bring anything in, if it'll fit under your seat, you can bring stuff with you. And some of the seats are designed to accommodate picnic tables and stuff like that. So it's really a very special venue. If you've never been there to the Hollywood Bowl, a couple other things I want to mention. The Hilton Glendale, what a great hotel that is. Mostly a business hotel, but if you can slip in there on the weekends, you can sometimes get some great rates. And it's a four-diamond property, and it's right off the freeway in Glendale. Great, great location and good staff. Farmers Market we went to in Los Angeles. That was really a lot of fun. We took a tour there. They took us around and introduced us to some of the folks in the marketplace. And then we had some time to look around and buy things on our own. And the Farmers Market there on Fairfax, outside of downtown Los Angeles, has been there since the late 1930s, early 1930s. So it's not something that just came along recently.
It seems like everywhere you go, farmers markets always kind of show up as one of the things that you guys do.
Well, yeah, I guess. The great thing about the farmers market in Los Angeles is there are lots of restaurants and stuff there. These are permanent stalls.
Mm-hmm.
But these are, nobody's a chain. Everybody's a one-off, and that's their place.
Got it.
So if you want something unique and unusual in Los Angeles, you can go to the farmers market. Anyway, I got more, but we're kind of, if we don't get to the travel news, we'll know we won't have a radio program.
Okay, you want to touch on Seattle a little later, or you want to get to it now?
Well, we were up there riding the ferries around Puget Sound for a couple days early in the week. As anybody who's been to the Pacific Northwest knows, if you go there at this time of the year, you're likely to run into just some incredibly spectacular weather, and that's what we had. If you go up there and you're not staying in Seattle, which I recommend because Seattle's become incredibly expensive, go across the Sound. Stay on the other side. The towns are small. We stayed at the Clearwater Casino in Sioux Squamish.
Okay.
In Sioux Squamish, mm-hmm. Which is where Chief Seattle is from, and that's another story for another day. But it's a wonderful place, and you can get in there for less than $200, which is about half of what they're charging in downtown Seattle these days. So you if you go to Seattle, you want to stay in the burbs for sure.
Follow along with the Travel Guys at TravelGuysRadio.com. And at the top of each Travel Guys radio show, we do the travel news. And with that being said, Mark holds up his large stack of paperwork there.
Yeah.
Checks his Giants baseball score and gives us the travel.
Not anymore, I don't.
No, good, game over, huh?
It's too depressing to check the Giants baseball scores with any regularity.
Part of the travel news, by the way.
All right, important travel news here. A few weeks ago, we told you that Marriott Hotels had quietly implemented a change in their cancellation policy where they were going to change it from 24 hours in advance, generally, to 48 to 72 hours in advance. So from one day to 2 to 3 days. This is particularly going to impact business travelers and people who make reservations at the last minute. We said at the time that, well, whether or not this stuck or not would depend on whether or not other major hotel chains decided to match Marriott. And here comes the word from the One Mile at a Time blog on boardingarea.com that Hilton is going to join Marriott as of July 31st. They will be updating their cancellation policy to require guests on flexible rates to cancel 48 to 72 hours out, depending on the location. So not only is this going to be a downside for now, here's what's going to happen, Tom. The hotels are creating an opening for themselves to sell a new product. And this new product will be one that you can cancel at the last minute.
Okay, yeah. Last minute cancellation mm-hmm. insurance.
Or exactly.
Whatever it's called.
An insurance fee that you mm-hmm. will pay mm-hmm. that will protect you in case you need to cancel at the last minute. And of course, legitimately for hotels, listen, when people cancel on them at the last minute, the hotel has no way to resell, in many cases, to resell that space. And so there's a huge loss of revenue there. It has been my feeling for many years that consumers have had way too lenient rules when it comes to hotel cancellation policies. And I'll tell you where this is going to change next. Car rentals. You are not going to be able to not show up for a car rental and or cancel it at the last minute and not be charged for it. And you could make some legitimate argument that you should be. There should be some kind of a fee. And if there is, then maybe people will be better about avoiding those fees and canceling at a time that will give these vendors an opportunity to resell. But nonetheless, this is going to hit business travelers pretty hard because a lot of times their schedules change at the last minute. It is yet to be seen whether or not you will be able to call these guys and say, hey, my airline flight just got canceled. Let me out of my room tonight.
Well, you know, here again, I think most of us, if we were in their shoes, would say the same thing that, gee, this is quite a convenience to be able to cancel at the last minute or both car or hotel. And so, you know, that it's not unreasonable that this is happening. But at the same time, I think hopefully they will show a little reason when perhaps there are extenuating circumstances.
Absolutely. We mentioned last week that United Airlines was going to be more proactive in overbooking situations by asking folks when they checked in to accept some kind of a voucher. Now United has announced that they're even going to go further than that. When they see flights that look like they're going to be overbooked or already overbooked, they are going to be proactive and send you a note 2, 3, 4 days, a week ahead of time.
Right.
And say, would you accept, would you consider? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that if you contact people a week ahead of time and say, we'll give you a $250 voucher for everybody in your party if you'll go 2 hours later or 4 hours earlier or something like that, it'll be a lot easier to get takers. And that indeed they may be able to shift people. They may find that they can shift people to flights more than just the ones that are overbooked, to flights that they want them off of, and freeing up seats they can sell for more money to last minute travelers.
Yeah, this is the new news that United just came out with this week,
and yeah.
I could see in the faces of the people that I was with when we were watching it on the TV that it's pretty exciting news.
It is.
To be notified that, you know, way in advance so that you can take advantage of that.
Well, and it's a win-win because then you don't have these situations at the airport where you've got 30 minutes to get a flight out and you're trying to do all of the business that it takes to get a flight out, and now you've got this extra layer of stuff, which is what blew up on United Airlines. In the humorous travel news today, Ann Coulter is upset on Twitter because she didn't get the Delta seat that she paid for, the Delta comfort seat, in advance. So she went into a Twitter rage on the airplane. Turns out that the airline didn't even move her to another seat in the same row.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she was moved from an aisle seat to an aisle seat across the row.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, so I thought that was kind of humorous. Next, best beaches to celebrate National Nude Beach Day. You missed National Nude Hiking Day, Tom.
Yes, I did.
Did you know that Nude Beach Day was Friday?
No, I missed that. I missed that again. I was nude in my own backyard. That's my
ooh,
beach.
That conjures up a scary kind of image that's not good for the children who might be listening to the show. Hotels are surviving the Airbnb age. Last story for today. It looks like Airbnb had been expected to add as much as 2% of capacity in the United States this year, but they're going to add a little less than 1% because they're running out of places to add. Cities are passing regulations. Many major cities, including San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York, have recently enacted laws that prohibit the illegal hotel model of commercial use of short-term rentals. People who are looking for short-term rentals in those cities will be happy to hear that. And that is your travel news for today.
Coming up here on The Travel Guys, it's hashtag travel time. A report from Nick Valenzuela. This one's all about all the new apps that can make you a smarter traveler. Keep it here. That's next. The Travel Guys on the radio, Mark and Tom. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And once again, it's time to do a hashtag travel.
Nick Valenzuela joins us on the phone. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, buddy. You have come up with a list here for the summertime of some great new travel apps here that can help make some of our folks smarter travelers. So without further ado, let's hit your list here. The first one on your list is Rumor. Is that, am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, sir. You are.
Rumor Travel.
Absolutely. Yeah, so like you guys are always mentioning, becoming a smarter traveler there, Rumor is going to definitely help you out with that. Essentially, Rumor is an online marketplace for selling and buying discount hotel rooms. So if you purchase a hotel room and your hotel gets your trip plans get canceled for any reason, you don't have to totally eat the cost of the room if you can't get refunded. You can put the room up on Rumor, and people will be able to purchase the hotel directly from you. You'll eat a little bit of the money there, but you'll be able to make up some on the back end. And it's also an option for individuals looking to just purchase a cheaper hotel room when they're going out for their travels. And Rumor will also notify the hotel of the name changes and take care of all the odds and ends there. So it's a really, really cool way to book a discounted hotel room.
Well, and as we were just talking about, if Hilton goes ahead and matches Marriott's change with the new cancellation policies of being 2 and 3 days out, there are going to be a lot more people who are going to be stuck with hotel rooms that they're going to be looked to get something out of. And the flip side is that people, we're just talking about how tight hotel rooms are in San Francisco next weekend. Somebody's got a room they're going to get stuck for. There's no reason they should get stuck for the whole thing when a hotel room is $300 or $400.
Exactly.
All right, let's see here. Next on your list, Nick, that one is rumortravel.com. The next one you've got up here is getgrab.com. What's that all about?
Now, that just the name of that kind of frightens me a little bit, Nick. tell me it's not what it sounds like it is. Now, I don't know if I want to get grabbed.
It's not what it sounds like it is, although that I could see how that would be unsettling in an airport. what GetGrab is going to be is whenever we're going through the airport, usually one of the last things we think about is, oh, my gosh, I need to eat some food. You're trying to make your flight. You got 100 other things going through your mind. So what GetGrab is going to do is it's going to bring the food to your mobile screen. You're essentially going to be able to just look up what food options are available in your terminal. Some airports even offer online ordering, so you can just order your food from the GetGrab app, go to your desired food destination, pick up your food there, and off you go to your plane. It's really, really easy, and it's one less thing to worry about, one less thing to give you a headache when you're just trying to get through the airport in these busy summer.
Tom, I was in the Seattle airport the other day, and the McDonald's on the B concourse now has ordering screens, so you don't have to. You can go up to the counter if you want to, but I would say a full half of the customers were going up to the screen, punching in what you wanted, and you can even customize an order from that screen. And then once you pay with your credit card, of course, and once you're in, then you're just waiting for your food to come up. Looking for ways, it looks as though, Nick, millennials are looking for ways to save a little bit of time here and there to avoid the lines and stuff like that. So GetGrab looks like another way to do that. You've got another one on here that has to do with passports. It's easy. Tell us about this website, this app.
Right, like you had mentioned, waiting in lines isn't exactly fun. And usually when we're going to get a passport update, or just to get a passport, we usually go to our local post office. You wait in a line, or you wait for the place to open up. It's Easy is a passport service. It's been around for about 40 years, but now it's really expediting the whole process. It brings the process of getting your passport to your mobile screen once again. So what it does is it systematically guides you through the process of getting your passport. You get to take your own picture, kind of like a selfie version, for your passport. It updates everything. You can pay for the services just directly on your app, and everything gets sent over to you either through standard delivery or expedited or overnight, whatever's the quickest form for you there. So it's a really, really convenient way to just get the headache of updating your passport and getting all that stuff done while you're sitting on your couch if you'd like to.
Our guest, Nick Valenzuela. About once a month, we bring Nick along, and Nick has a little feature report here with the Travel Guys called Hashtag Travel, and our younger listeners particularly, a lot of this information is kind of stuff that they have in some ways created because of a demand for making things faster, easier, on their mobile devices. Next.
So far we've talked about a way for you to resell a hotel room that you may not be able to cancel that you're about to be stuck with. We've talked about how to get food faster in the airport, how to get your passport expedited a little quicker. Nick, now you've got one that involves Google.
Right. So what's one of the first things we always do when we're in a new location, we're somewhere foreign, We pull up Google and we ask questions about what's around the area, what can we do. Google is sort of our outlet for everything travel there. So now there's Google Trips, where all you need is really a Gmail account or a Google account, and all of your booking that you do for your flights, your hotel, what have you, is all going to get funneled into this one app now, and it's all going to be put together as your travel itinerary. And based off of everything you're doing, it's going to give you recommendations about what you can do in the area, where you can go, and it's going to have it all in one convenient, easy-to-use page that Google is known and famous for, that essentially a 6 or 7-year-old kid could probably use really quickly on an iPad there. So it's a really, really convenient way to just have a travel itinerary that you don't really have to sit down and put together yourself. It's all just sort of funneled there through you as you just process your travel plans. Really, really convenient, really easy. I always use that whenever I go places.
All right, and one, you got one left here. This is airhelp.com, particularly helpful for folks who might be traveling to Europe. We've got about 30 seconds, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, AirHelp is really, really convenient, especially in these times with the United incident that had just taken place. Essentially, AirHelp is going to just compensate you for any overbooked or canceled flight. You just have to file a claim with them. They'll get back to you. They'll enforce the claim on your part. And if you're traveling, yes, overseas to Europe, and you have a delayed flight, you may even be able to get some money back from that. So no more worrying about those overbooked flights if you can go through AirHelp.
Some excellent ways to make you a smarter traveler, particularly if you're willing to put some apps on your phone. I don't know anybody, Tom, who travels, who has a smartphone, who doesn't have at least 3 or 4 travel apps on their phone. Nick Valenzuela with the hashtag Travel Report. Nick, great information. Thank you, my friend. We look forward to talking to you next time.
Awesome. I'll see you guys then.
Road reporter Chris Galloway has been on the road over to Asia in the last 3 weeks, and he joins us next, and we're going to talk about, Asian traveler.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Yeah, well, I hope you got your umbrella if you're walking down the road today.
Especially if you're chewing on a piece of grass.
Yeah.
You were supposed to smoke that, not chew on it.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Okay, we are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman.
Always confused.
And Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And time to check in with one of our special Sports Leisure Vacations roaming reporters, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Chris Galloway is joining us on the line. Chris has been roaming all around, I was going to say Southeast Asia, but not really all Southeast Asia, because Japan isn't Southeast Asia, and Taiwan and South Korea. He even got a glimpse of North Korea. I guess we're lucky that he wasn't taken hostage. Chris Galloway, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All right. What took you on this voyage? Was this a Sports Leisure Vacations outings, or were you just on the road?
This was a personal vacation that I believe will probably turn into a 2018 Japan departure for Sports Leisure Vacations.
Awesome.
So there's not going to be a Sports Leisure Vacations trip to the DMZ in South Korea to maybe, no, perhaps not.
Actually, I wanted to talk to you about that, so we'll talk about that often.
I see. Chris, you, going to 3 different countries, I mean, some people would probably say, well, it's all Asia, so it's all the same, but heck, you can, if you change states in the United States, you can change cultures. So it must have been a really great variety of cultures. Tell us about some of the cool places that you went to and maybe a place or two that wasn't so cool.
Well, you're absolutely right. Each country has its own unique flair. I think the order that I did the countries was the best way. We started 4 nights in Taipei. Taiwan has much more of a laid-back feel. Again, big cities. That's just, typical of Asian cities. But again, like I said, it had that more laid-back local feel. So that was a good way to start the vacation. Then from there, bounced over to South Korea. That place is fascinating on so many levels. Spent 4 nights there and then headed over to Japan for 10 nights, where we spent time in Tokyo. Took the train northwest of Tokyo to a tiny little mountain town. Went and played with the snow monkeys. Let's see, we went to Nara.
Wait.
That would get your attention.
What's a snow monkey?
Okay, so you've probably seen on National Geographic, there are monkeys that hang out in the natural hot springs during the winter.
Uh-huh.
They're snow monkeys. And they have an area there where it's called the Snow Monkey Park. Now, I didn't quite understand from the description exactly what it was that I was going to be seeing. But you take a nice little hike up through the woods, and I assumed that I would be looking up into the trees to see if there was a monkey. Well, I paid my admission. I walked in and almost stepped on a monkey. There's no fencing. There's no barricades between you and the animal. They could care less that you were there. They're very tame. They've been around humans. It was absolutely fascinating. So, of course, with it being this time of year, there were lots of babies out, and you know, it was really an amazing experience. I just absolutely loved it.
Now, is this no feeding allowed? Or do you get to feed them? Are they crawling on you? What's going on?
No. Like I said, they are just doing their thing. You are in their home.
I see.
You can't touch the monkeys. They're not going to touch you. They do ask that you not pull any plastic bags or food out, mm-hmm. because they know to take that. It could be a potential treat for them. But basically, there is a staff there that sort of oversees things and makes sure that the monkeys are taken care of. Again, they are wild animals. They go up into the mountains each night, and they come back down each day. They do provide little food pellets, that sort of thing. So perhaps, you know, that's the incentive to come down.
Tom, we should probably tell folks who are listening and think, wow, is that a train whistle I hear in the background? This is the Travel Guys. We're talking to one of our reporters. Of course he's on a train. I mean, of course he's still moving just because he's back in the country. Before we give folks some travel tips here, Chris, you mentioned in your notes that you did a DMZ tour in South Korea and actually got to see a glimpse of North Korea?
We did. It's a bus tour. It leaves Seoul. And on the way up, you're traveling beside a river. And just on the other side of the river, that is North Korea. I can't explain the feeling, but it was just a feeling of awe, really. You know, you hear about this on the news all the time. And then there it was.
Wow, wow, cool, cool. Okay.
Let me jump in here. Chris, okay. With all the different countries and places that you went, how do things work out in regards to language barriers?
Well, it can be a challenge. I lived over in China for a year, and I did study the language. I've still got some of those skills. So in Taiwan, it wasn't too difficult. Getting to Korea, I know none of the language. I cannot read the language at all. That proved to be the most challenging. You have to do your research before you go. You need to make sure that you've got all of your hotel reservations printed out in both English as well as the local language, the character system. Don't take for granted that cab drivers are going to be able to even recognize, you know, a common name like a Hilton Hotel. You know, it's their language. You're in their country, so you need to meet them halfway. I would say that's like I said, that was the one area where, you know, I kind of dropped the ball. I wasn't entirely prepared for my arrival into Korea, but I quickly learned my lesson. Little things when you're out exploring, make sure you pick up a hotel business card. You can show a local, you can show a cab driver, and they'll be much more able to help you. But the absolute number one tip is just smile. Always be friendly. You know, with any language barrier, a smile is going to go ahead and soften that initial reaction, that initial approach. In Japan, I couldn't find our Airbnb that we were staying at. Simply stopped a local. We were very friendly. He took time out of his day to walk us several blocks and take us directly to the front door of the building. So just always be kind, generous, and gracious.
Kind of something that pretty much applies anywhere is that oftentimes a smile can get you courtesies that a frown wouldn't get you. Chris, what about, you would have needed several different currencies, or you would have been constantly changing money. How did you handle all of that traveling to multiple countries as you did?
Well, it is very important to always make sure that you have the local currency, even in very developed countries like Japan and South Korea. Credit cards are not accepted everywhere. But just upon arrival into the airport, as soon as I got my bag and cleared, you know, customs and immigration, I would go find the currency exchange booth. I would go ahead and do, say, like $100 at a time, just so I had something to start with. And then after that, I had called my bank prior to beginning the travels to give them the dates of the countries where I would be. So I was able to use my debit card pretty much anywhere.
Wow. That's another important piece of information, is especially when you're going overseas. Yes, Tom?
You mentioned Airbnb. You know, I've been flirting with the idea of you using some domestic Airbnb. Boy, am I adventuresome, right? And you've gone, halfway around the world and are staying with people you don't know in places that are not, you know, your typical high-end hotels. How'd that work out for you?
Well, I have done both shared apartments as well as private apartments. And on this particular trip in Kyoto, I spent two nights in a private apartment. It was probably the nicest place that I've ever stayed at with Airbnb. Don't get me wrong, it was maybe 350 square foot total, but that's very, very common in Japan. Things are just built smaller. But again, it was wonderful. It was very well furnished. It was clean. We had a very thoughtful host. There was cold water waiting for us in the refrigerator, coffee, tea, and snacks and that sort of thing. So upon arrival, you're already at home.
We're talking with Chris Galloway, a reporter for the Travel Guys and a tour director with Sports Leisure Vacations. Chris, you just got back from Asia. You're about to head out again. You have kind of a special trip heading up to Canada this week. Am I correct?
I do. I leave on Tuesday, taking a group up to Ottawa. We are going to celebrate Canada's 150th birthday. So we'll do a couple nights in Ottawa, make our way up to Quebec City, which is one of my absolute favorite places. It is the closest to Europe that you can get without the long plane flight. And then, of course, spend one night in Montreal making our way back.
Well, we will look forward to a report on how things are doing up in Canada when you get back in a couple weeks. Chris Galloway of Sports Leisure Vacations, thank you for joining us here on the Travel Guys. And Thomas, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to dip into the mailbag and answer some of our listeners' questions, and they have some extremely good questions this time around.
Yeah, it's Stump the Travel Guy time, huh? Okay.
We are the Travel Guys right here on News Radio KFBK.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, we are the Travel Guys.
Hot outside.
It is. It is.
It is really. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just really hot.
When you finally, the temperature that you say, you know what, I am not going outside.
About 102 or 3.
Okay.
I remember the hottest it's ever been. My father came to watch me in some Little League games many, many, many years ago, and it was like 112 and 113. And he was like, is it this hot all the time? And I said, no, Dad, it's not. And a couple of years later, he came back and it was 109. So I proved to be correct, but he never came a third time because he was like, it's too hot in Sacramento. People live on the face of the sun.
Yeah. Now, the other question I have for you, and because I was visiting with some friends earlier today that just got back from Tennessee.
Ah.
He's in the Civil War thing. Anyway, he says, well, you know, it's really hot here today, but in Tennessee, the humidity was just a killer.
Yeah.
So you've traveled a lot of places where there's the humidity thing. Mm. What do you like? Are you like the dry heat? You like the wet heat?
Ooh, I don't like humidity. I'm like most Californians. Californians do humidity extremely poorly. Mm. It's the one Californians can deal with cold and snow almost better than they do humidity. They wilt in a matter of minutes usually, and they suffer extended long periods of time after they've been out in humidity. So when we're setting up tour schedules and stuff like that, we intentionally try to stay out of places. You know, we don't go to Chris has a tour that goes to Boston and on up to Maine in early July every other year, where he does the 4th of July in Boston, and, mm-hmm. and that's a little dangerous to do that, but at least he's going up north where you're still likely, and of course I just went to Upper Michigan, and we had temperatures around 70 degrees, which is kind of nice when you're coming from Sacramento. Went up to Puget Sound last week and for 3 days and two nights with a tour group, and stayed at the Clearwater Casino I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, and the weather was around 70. It was cloudy some of the time. It didn't rain on us, but it was a little windy, and everybody was, you know, it was actually, you needed a jacket from time to time, and no one complained a bit because we, from where we had come and where we were going to return to was, you know, kind of warm here. So mm-hmm. it does give one an appreciation, but I don't, I really don't care. I was talking to a gentleman driving our motor coach yesterday. The bus driver in Southern California was talking about just getting back from Louisiana. And imagine a vacation in Louisiana in July. And he just he said, well, and of course it was humid there. Just threw it off, you know,
yeah,
like it was
no
just
big
a
deal.
Yeah, no big deal. Of course it's humid there. Well, he knew it would be humid before he went. So, yeah, and I don't do humidity very well.
And then up in Oregon, of course, most of that doesn't have any air conditioning in a lot of the places. And then you end up with a hot spell, and folks go up there on vacation, and they're in their rooms and they're sweating and they're looking around for a fan or something.
The opposite of Key West in the wintertime. Many of the hotels, older hotels in Key West and older homes in Key West, do not have heating because it just doesn't get that cold where you would need anything other than an extra blanket more than two or three times a year. And so the homes weren't built with that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's kind of interesting, but of course, you know, all of our modern hotels have all of the air conditioning and stuff. All right, so we said we were going to dip into the mailbag here.
There you go.
And answer some questions. First one comes in regards to the car sharing website Turo. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, T-U-R-O. This listener says, I was thinking of using their services on an upcoming trip to Florida. What do you know about them? It's kind of the car version of Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
If you will, you can rent someone else's car rather than going to Hertz or Avis or something.
Sounds like a good idea. I'm going to Florida pretty soon, too.
Might
tell me what's the answer.
Well, it's not going well for the folks at Turo right now. I would say stay away from that.
Oh, not good.
At least for now. They have a long string of complaints with the Better Business Bureau. They have a long string of Yelp and TripAdvisor complaints, many of which they don't seem to have responded to at all. Folks who have problems have reported at Elliott.org, Chris Elliott's website, that they are having trouble getting the company to respond in any type of customer service situation. So I say two thumbs down on Turo for right now. I would stay away from that car sharing service. Here's one that's pertinent to today. I heard you mention a hotel chain was changing their cancellation policies. Didn't catch who it were, but you said they were going to start charging. Could you repeat the story? And of course, today we talked about how Hilton is joining Marriott/Starwood and changing their cancellation policies to be 2 to 3 days out as opposed to just 24 hours out. So you're now going to have to be a little bit more careful, especially if you're a business traveler who tends to cancel at the last minute, or you're an infrequent traveler who doesn't think about these things and doesn't read the fine print. Some resorts, particularly you're going to Hawaii or something like that, they will require cancellation sometimes as much as 7 to 10 days in advance because, of course, it's hard for them to resell that space. So be careful there. Heads up on the cancellation policies. Just use several websites to compare airfares. Ended up deciding to use justfly.com. Made a reservation, got the email confirmation. It shows us a $578 charge for seating assignments. I didn't agree to a charge for seat assignments. There's also a $14.95 charge for a seat map assignment fee on the confirmation. What the heck is that?
Well, that's so that they'll send you a map that shows you where you're going to sit.
I called and got this $578 charge reversed, but they were vague about the second fee. Then I tried to communicate by phone a second time, had to leave voicemails. My call was never returned. Other than refusing the charge, what can I do? This is a third-party website, of course, justfly.com. You've taken your life into your hands when you did business with a third-party site like that, knowing you probably couldn't talk to a human. We checked on it. The $14.95 seat assignment fee is just a fee charged by the website to get a few bucks out of you because they can't sell you the airline ticket for more than the air. They can't make a commission on the ticket. So when you see on third-party websites airfares that are lower than you're seeing them on Delta or United or American or Southwest, it's often because they have decided to create a lower price and then try to nickel and dime you to get the price up over what you would have originally paid. So be very careful. Next question is, what are your feelings about Trivago, the hotel comparing website? Mm-hmm. Same thing. You're going to go there. I just did this before the show. You're going to go there and you're going to go and they're going to refer you the lowest prices for a hotel. There's a dozen prices and you click on the lowest one. It takes you to the website of booking.com. You're now about to book on booking.com and I'm guessing Trivago gets a rake. Either that or they're only got websites on there that they also co-own. But nonetheless, they've sent you to a different third-party website. You're now looked on Trivago. You're booking with booking.com, and you're staying in a Hilton hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I would just say to you, why did you just not go to Hilton.com and take the lowest rate there?
The advice I would like to throw in here is that the rate that you see isn't necessarily the rate that you're going to get. It does not include oftentimes any of the taxes, and it will not include any of the resort fees that might go with it. And that, of course, goes with automobile rentals, too, that are telling you that you're going to be able to rent an automobile for $230 for a seven-day week. You click on it, and by the time you're done with all the fees, that's now a $480 rental.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, watch out. Make sure that, particularly if you're using third-party, because you got to drill in quite a ways before you ever, or if ever, get the actual cost.
One more mailbag question here. By the way, you can get your questions answered. Go to travelguysradio.com. There is, right on the homepage there, there's a little form you can fill out. Put your question on it, and I will be happy to respond to your question by email, and some of them we will answer as we have time on the air.
I'm going to take next week off. Let me put that in here. Tom wants on the website here. Tom's going to be off.
I was booking. I'm booking a trip on. Went to Kayak. They gave me some options using two airlines. I seem to recall you saying something about not using two airlines. This is using United on the outbound and American on the return. Is that okay? And the answer is yes. What we talked about was don't combine airlines on the same direction. So if you were flying from Sacramento to New York City, you wouldn't fly to Dallas on United and then on American to New York City, because American doesn't know that you're on United, mm-hmm. and United doesn't know that you're on American.
They don't care.
And they don't care. So not only will you likely have to check your luggage twice and claim it midway, but if something happens with your United flight and it doesn't get there in time, American is not going to take that into consideration, and they're not even going to know. And the reverse applies also. So never combine airlines when you're going the same direction. Now, what this listener is saying is go on United Airlines outbound to your destination and then come back on American, as long as you're not changing airlines during one trip on one direction. Why, then you are most likely going to be okay. And that's the mailbag. Remember, travelguysradio.com will get you an opportunity to do that, plus a look at everything that we've talked about this week. Thomas?
Well, there's so much going on in the world of travel, and you can always keep up with it by listening to the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 o'clock here on KFBK. Mark?
Remember to dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends. Bye for now.